Welcome back to the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs. Joined now by Sean Callahan. He's a publisher of HuskerOnline.com. You need to check that out and check out his work, as he's been very busy this football season with what's going on with the Husker football program. And he joined us today on the Sports Ticket. Sean, how's it going, man?
Hey, I'm doing great. It's been some busy times up here in Lincoln.
Well, it has been. There's no question. And we're only four games into the season, so who knows what's in store down the line for you guys covering the Husker football program. Let's go back, of course, the loss to Northern Illinois. Some people said, well, some heads are going to roll. That's what one Husker fan told me. I didn't know it'd be that quickly when the athletic director was relieved of his duties. Was that something that was expected that quickly, or was that something that came by surprise?
I started to hear rumblings of some things happening behind the scenes the previous week. And when you look at it now, Sean Eichhorst was so out of character his final week on the job. I mean, he's a guy that doesn't really ever conduct news conferences. Well, he had two press gatherings in a matter of 3 days. One, you know, he really botched the Black Friday thing. Now the new schedules came out before Northern Illinois. And Nebraska, Iowa is no longer going to play on the final week. You know, the Big Ten decided not to protect that as a Week 13 game, and they'll play Minnesota now. And Eichhorst came out and said, we are no longer going to play on Black Friday. And this is something Nebraska has done for 30 straight years and on and off since the 70s. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's kind of their number one television window on that Black Friday national TV game. And people were up in arms, and he tried to justify it. And then the criticism was so bad, he actually took back his statement, went out and tried to figure out a way to get the game played on Thursday or on Friday, and then held a press conference after practice at the game week, which that just didn't go over well either. So, and then after the game, when they got beat, he comes down and does another press conference. Mm-hmm. And he was kind of really pleading for what he did and what he's accomplished. And it just wasn't a good look. And then before you know it, the next week he was let go. And, you know, yeah, the football team and the results, that has been a part of it. But I do think they don't feel like he is a right fit, the right leader in that position right now, especially when he technically is the highest paid athletic director in the country, which is kind of scary to say out loud.
Yeah. So where does Nebraska go from here in regards to filling the AD position? I would imagine they'll be interim and then eventually find the person they want.
Yeah, I mean, everything I'm hearing, and, you know, could be announced as soon as today, that Dave Remington could end up being the interim, it sounds like. I believe he's back in town. I don't think he's interested in being the permanent, but he could do a 60 to 90-day stint as the interim and kind of be a guy to help them through this transition, give the athletic department a face. And that's the problem right now. When you look at who is in there internally, they don't really have anybody that gives this thing a face. So they can't really just give somebody the job, I don't think, from the current staff, because it just wouldn't do anything. It would just be blah. And so I think this at least would give them somebody with, you know, that kind of fits all the things: former player, highly decorated, two-time academic All-American, successful business leader and president of a multi-million dollar corporation since the mid-90s, Dave Remington. So I think it makes sense. And then obviously you figure out the permanent guy, whether that's a Trev Alberts or somebody else from the outside, that will be interesting to follow.
Are there any other names that you're hearing besides Trev Alberts?
Ed Stewart's name gets tossed around. He works in the Big 12 offices, played linebacker here at Nebraska. But I really get the sense there's a high value being placed on somebody that knows Nebraskans, that gets this culture and state, and somebody on the outside could as well, but Eichhorst was such an awkward fit, and they want somebody that really just fits the area better and will blend with the coaches better. Eichhorst just wasn't really great, other than with Mike Riley. He wasn't really great with very many of the coaches and the relationships, and his style just didn't work here. I don't think that style works here very well, where you have an AD that almost has like a buffer between each coach, mm-hmm. where you have a go-between AD. ADs or the coaches here really want to have a coach that you can, or an AD that you can go up to and have a relationship with.
Sean Callahan, publisher of Husker Online, our guest today on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill and Down. So what does this mean for Mike Riley, head coach of the Huskers?
Anytime the guy that hires you gets fired, that's typically not a good sign. And that's kind of where things sit right now, as you know, Nebraska and Riley came in here. I mean, he was an under-the-radar hire. No one really was expecting Mike Riley to get this job, and they were surprised everywhere he went. And the fact that it's not looking now like what it's supposed to look like has not been good. He's still going to have the next eight games. They're picked to win this game Friday, and then they come home against Wisconsin, where they're 46-5 all-time in home night games. So they'll be a dog in that game, but history on night games here is really strong in favor of Nebraska. So there is an opportunity here these next 2 weeks, and then Ohio State's following that. But if they can somehow win at Illinois and pull off kind of one of those magical nights, you know, Nebraska hasn't lost a home night game wait since 2008.
Wow.
That was Bo Pelini's first season. Yeah. If they could pull something off like that against Wisconsin, then it will get really interesting to kind of see kind of what they do and what direction. Now, we talked to a lot of the recruits and a kid from Georgia named Christian Tutt, a four-star corner. The president, Hank Bounds, almost gave the impression that Riley was definitely coming back next year. So it's hard to read right now because it's still early, but I think it will be interesting to see how this all plays out.
How desirable is the Nebraska job now? We know it was very desirable back in the heyday. Of course, I don't know if you're the one to follow Tom Osborne. Frank Solich won 9 games, and then he was let go. Bo Pelini would win 9 games basically every year. He was let go. Mike Riley, according to many people I've talked to, they believe he wasn't the first choice. Maybe Sean Eichhorst's first choice, but probably the university not the first choice. Bill Callahan, of course, back in the day, he was certainly not even close to the first choice. How desirable is the Nebraska football coaching job now here in 2017?
Well, Forbes magazine ranks Nebraska as the 15th most valuable college football franchise. Okay. In their deal, and that was just recently published. So it's still, you know, from that level, is highly valued. They still get 90,000 fans, and they will have full Big Ten money. So you're looking at a $160-170 million a year athletic department, which will put them in the top 10 of finances. So they've got all the bells and whistles, all the support, all the money, all the tradition. And I think what makes it attractive is being in the Big Ten West. Iowa and Wisconsin have a leg up on the Huskers today, but it's not, you know, like they can't get to that level. They should be able to get to that level and even be better than those teams when you look at all the things they have. Iowa could barely sell out their game on Saturday against Penn State. I mean, so I think Nebraska is a sleeping giant if the right guy comes here. I mean, if they were able just to contend to win the West and be competitive and win the West, I mean, the place would go nuts. I mean, Nebraska's only won the division here in the Big Ten one time since they joined the league in 2011. I think that's where it starts. I mean, getting a coach that can really, an AD and a coach here that can consistently get Nebraska to win that division, because there is really no excuse why Wisconsin should be this far out and Iowa should be this far out over Nebraska when you add up everything at the schools right now.
How has the recruiting landscape changed for Nebraska since they moved from the Big 12 to the Big 10? And is that a contributing factor to some of the issues Nebraska's faced, or is that more of a myth?
It's more of a myth at times. I mean, they still, like, get guys in Texas. I mean, the running back on Saturday was from Texas. They're starting right tackle. That was a true freshman on Saturday. Brandon Hymus is from Austin. He turned down Tom Herman and Longhorns to come to Nebraska to play because he wanted to be in a pro-style system and not a spread, and he's going to be really good. So they can still get guys in Texas, maybe not at the volume of before, and California is always going to be good. And the West Coast, is to me, makes sense for Nebraska because when you look at the Mountain and the Pacific time zones, there's only one Power 5 conference for those two time zones combined. Mm-hmm. The Central and the Eastern have four Power 5 conferences. So you have way less competition going west. Obviously, the Pac-12 teams are going to recruit heavy west, the Mountain West, but you might get Notre Dame, you might get a few other programs that travel west. Oklahoma goes west and tries to find guys too. But I think it's easier to get guys on the west. And everyone's got to go to Florida. There's so much talent down there. When you go down to, you know, Miami and South Beach area. I believe the recruiting can be still very high level here. And the new recruiting rules are going to help Nebraska because you can now bring prospects on campus during the spring in the summer months on paid official visits. Before, it was September 1st of their senior year. They could not come. That was the first time they could take a visit. So these new rules, along with parents being allowed to travel on visits for free, help Nebraska, because a lot of kids want to make decisions in the spring and the summer before their senior year. So when that process is going on, Nebraska will be able to offer these visits out to these guys.
Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot. I don't know if you're a betting man or not, but if you were a betting man, would you bet that Mike Riley will be the coach of Nebraska next year or somebody else?
I mean, yeah, I guess a lot of it will depend after these next few games.
Mm-hmm.
But more often than not, you know, if they fall apart and go, if they don't go to a bowl game, you know, 5-7-ish, I would say it's going to be unlikely he's back. But if they get in that conversation of even 7-5, which would be a 6-3 conference record, I think it would be hard to let him go at that point. But a lot of it depends on how it looks, how competitive are they in those losses. Because last year they were 9-3 in their regular season, but the Iowa and the Ohio State losses were so uncompetitive, it has soured the entire season. Then the bowl game, they were missing a lot of key guys and just looked ugly against Tennessee. So I think a lot of it will depend on how it looks.
All right, time for our off-the-wall question, Sean. Sean Callahan, my publisher at Husker Online, is with us today on the Sports Ticket. I've been at Nebraska games before. I've had other people been to Nebraska games, and they sometimes get annoyed when the old corncob mask, well, corncob head hat people would wear. Sometimes they have structure view, so forth and so on. I don't know if they still allow those or people still complaining about it. So the off-the-wall question for you, Sean, is there anything when you go to a sporting event that really annoys you as a fan, when you're there as a fan? I know there are times you're certainly working and you're there at ball games. But when you go to other sporting events, name me one thing that really annoys you or obstructs your view or anything like that.
Oh, I mean, just dumb comments in the crowd. I mean, you get spoiled being in the press box because no one's really talking.
Yes.
And I don't know if I've sat in the box since 99 here in Nebraska. And I obviously grew up in the stands.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I could go back to the stands. If I did, I'd have to have Greg Sharp on the radio in my ear just to kind of block out just uneducated, uninformed comments. So that would probably be just people that say dumb stuff during sporting events, that would be probably what would drive me the most, drive me nuts the most.
Our sports director, he was at a K-State women's basketball game, four, five, 6 years ago, before they implemented the 10-second rule, bringing the ball up the floor. So there's no 10-second rule. And he had a couple of fans are behind him, and they started screaming, 10 seconds, 10 seconds! And he calmly turned and says, that rule doesn't exist in women's basketball. They were just so sure that they were right and screaming at the refs, yelling at them because they didn't get the call right. That rule didn't exist at the time at women's basketball. So,
or the 3 second guy when you go to, I'm sure when you're doing high school play by play,
yes,
you always got the guy that's yelling 3 seconds, 3 seconds.
Yes,
single play.
Yes, over the back, over the back. He didn't touch him. He can reach over. It's technically okay to reach over and grab the ball if you're taller than another guy. You can do that. Over the back. Oh, man. Hey, you do a great job. Why don't you let everybody know where they can read your stuff, man?
Well, thanks, Wade. We're at HuskerOnline.com. We are the NebraskaRivals.com affiliate. Got the largest online community of Husker fans, so we'd love to have you on HuskerOnline.com.
Sean, I always appreciate the time. You do a great job, and we'll probably be talking to you later on this season as the Huskers continue throughout 2017 and see what's in store for 2018. Thanks for the time, man.
Hey, thanks, Wade.
That's Sean Callahan, our guest today on the Sports Ticket.